We thank you, God. Whoo, woo. Holy Spirit, who continue to have your way in this sanctuary, God. I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's in here today. I thank you, God, for the purpose you still have left in each and every one of us. The enemy comes to tell us that we're not valuable anymore, that I have nothing else to give, and I claim you've got something else to give. I think about my mom, even when she was in her hospice bed. She was still campaigning for me. Even in her bed, she still had something to give. Do not let the enemy tell you you don't have anything left to give. Bernie, do you care to go ahead and grab the offering plate? We're going to continue worshiping in our giving. God has blessed us. We live in a country where we still have freedoms. We still serve a God that is in the healing business. We still serve a God that's in the restoration business. Some of us have some shady paths. I'm one of them. But we have a God that says we have a future. You have to forgive me, but when he shows up, whoo, when he shows up, healing takes place. When he shows up, deliverance takes place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, good morning, saints. Did everybody get a brochure or a little program here? In your program, it has a place for notes. And so I'm going to go through a bunch of scriptures in here. And if you want to write them down so that we can study them later, you have the opportunity here. And George, was it your birthday recently? January 29th. Well, everybody just say happy birthday to George. Happy birthday, George. <laughs> 36 years old. If we can all just bow our head as we pray before we enter. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning for dwelling with us. We ask, oh God, that you would just open up our hearts that we could receive your word. I pray, God, that we could apply this word to our lives, God. That we would have a boldness to take this word out, but we're going to take it out in love and not in condemnation. Have your way this morning, O God. Anoint my lips that I could say only what thus saith the Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know I don't like holding this thing, right? Can we get the lapel back? I'm a walker and a talker. My mother-in-law said, if you would tie my hands up, I wouldn't be able to speak. I believe that. All right. A couple weeks ago when I was here, standing in for Pastor Butch, we talked about the year 2020, right? And we said that the number 20 is kaph in the Hebrew language, K-A-P-H. We remember that? And 20 represents a perfect period of waiting. It's a perfect period of suffering, that perfect period of sacrificing. How many of us have been suffering? How many of us have been sacrificing? How many of us have been waiting on a situation to change? We even talked about going into 2020 expecting a double portion for our waiting, for our sacrificing, right? 2020. Job had a double portion of his loss, correct? We also talked about going into 2020, seeing ourselves the way Christ sees us. How does Christ see us? And I'm going to run through some scriptures right here, and you want to write them down. How does God see us? Psalms 139 and 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Saints, today you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't care what your past looks like. God made you with purpose. We've talked about it countless times. When I'm buried, dead and buried, I will probably have Jeremiah 1 and 5 on my tombstone because I talk so much about purpose. But we Christians sometimes forget that we have purpose. We give too much weight to the enemy as he attacks our lives, and we don't realize who we are in Christ Jesus. So Psalms 139 and 14 says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, Jackie. Genesis 1:27 says, God created mankind in his image. Uh-oh. In his likeness. If God created mankind, who is mankind? You and I. He made us in his image and in his likeness. Why do we give so much authority to the enemy when he comes to tell us that we're not good enough or we don't belong? We do belong. We have purpose and we belong. There's purpose for us right here at Church of the King. There's purpose for us right here in Ironton, Ohio. There's purpose for us right here in the tri-state community. Not to come here to church every Sunday and just raise our hands and worship and then walk right back out the door. I did that for years and seen no improvement in my life. It wasn't until I began to apply this word to my life and start walking it out and believing this word was true. Romans 4 and 17, God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. If we are created in his image and in his likeness, then we have the same ability to speak those things that are not as though they are. He spoke and there was light. We have that same ability. Let the poor say, I am. Let the weak say, I am. Let the sick say, I am. I am healed. Deuteronomy 28 and 13. What does it say about us? The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay close attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I will give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and not the bottom. We are the head and not the tail. If we pay close attention, I just said for years, I walked in here and walked out, never applying this to my life, not knowing. I knew Jesus, But I didn't know the true power that he had, and I didn't understand the power that I had because of him. But when we get a hold of his word, when we're willing to forsake what we were taught in the past, when we're willing to give up some of the, if we're willing to sacrifice, do you know how easy it was for me to stay in bed today? Do you know how easy it is to get down and out because you're tired and wore out because of your job? And it's easy to go hide in the corner. Do you know how easy it is to just give up? The flesh wants to give up. But God's called us to something greater. We are the head and not the tail. Titus 3 and 7 says, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Are we heirs to the throne? Do we serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Do we serve Jehovah Yahweh? Do we serve Jehovah Nissi? He is. He was, he is, and he's still to come. Is he the Alpha and Omega? Is he the beginning and the end? Is he the Lion and the Lamb? And that's our God that we serve. We are heirs to whatever it is that he has for us. Psalms 37 and 25 says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Saints, are you the righteous of Christ Jesus? Do you really believe that you are the righteous of Christ Jesus? Never have we seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. When we apply his word to our lives, he works it out on our behalf. When I lost the election, could I have shriveled up into a ball and said, what am I going to do now? How many times, what have I said in here? I've lost my my insurance. I've lost my salary. I've lost my retirement. In the carnal flesh, it looks like God has forsaken me, right? But that ain't the word. He said he'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So I might not understand what I went through, but I trust my God enough that he's got something else for me. All he told me was to do was to be obedient to him, to do what's right. And I have to trust that he's got something else in store for me. He's got something else in store for you as well. Amen? Hebrews 2 and 6. But there is a place where someone has testified, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him. Jackie, why is it you're so special? Mike, why are you so special? God loves you unconditionally. He wants to dwell with you. He wants to spend time with you. You were so important that his son was willing to give up his life that you could have eternal life. How many of us are willing to sacrifice ourselves for something way down in the future that we don't know anything about? Can you trust your God that much, Wilma, for your grandbabies? Can you trust yourself, trust him that much, Diane, for your great grandbabies? Something that you may never ever see. Do you trust God that much, Jackie, that you're willing to go do what thus saith the Lord, even when it makes no sense whatsoever? Do we dwell with him enough to understand when he calls us to something and we say, do what? But we're going to do it anyway. It may sound crazy. My family thought I was nuts. But I knew what God called me to. And then the signs begin to lay out. And that pattern laid out. And then we walked right into it. I don't understand the outcome. But I know God was dwelling in me. I know He was building something in me. And I know He was preparing me for my next assignment. We are not here to dwell here and be about our needs. This isn't a selfish, self-centered lifestyle that we saints are supposed to be living. This is about being available. This is about saying, not my will, but your will. Bid it unto me, Lord, not my will, but your will. Can we do that? If God is so mindful of man, why do we, the saints, spend so much time worrying about our circumstances? Why do we spend so much time worrying about something we don't know anything about? Why do we spend so much time, woe is me, Lord. Woe is me. Listen, we were created with dominion and power. So it's already in us to be in control. He created the earth and He put us in it to subdue it and control it, correct? So it's already in our DNA to want to control things. But there was a section left out. There was a piece left out, a void inside of us that He wanted to be able to dwell in. And so now we're in a society where we place drugs there. We're in a society where we place alcohol. There's a society where we place pornography. Now we're in a society where we do what we want to do, what feels good to the flesh. And we plucked Him out. He wanted us. He wants to rule with us. He wants to abide with us. He wants to lead and guide us. If we'll take the time to stop, if we'll take the time to listen, if we'll take the time to get in His Word, if we'll take the time to pray, He wants to tell us our next move. But Katrina wants to do what Katrina wants to do. Katrina wants to sleep till 10 o'clock in the morning. Katrina don't want to get up early at times and seek the Lord's face. I want to lay in bed. My body hurts. Arthritis sets in. The Bible says seek Him early, doesn't it? Do we believe His Word? Do we believe His Word? Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do we believe His Word? Is it true? Over 2,000 years ago, is His Word still as true today as it was back then? Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious in nothing. He didn't say be anxious in things that, oh, my electric bill's getting ready to go off. I'm not going to have any electric. Well, my dad has a bunch of candles at the house that he's willing to loan you to give you some light. Ain't that right, Daddy? Be anxious in nothing. He didn't dissect it and say, oh, well, you can worry about X, Y, and Z. Oh, no, well, no, you can't worry about this stuff, but you can worry about this because this is just so much more extreme. He says to be anxious in nothing. It's the enemy's job to come in here and try to tickle your ear and tell you, oh, no, Jackie. Oh, no, 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 Mike. Mm-mm. You can't be healed. Look what your past looks like. You can't be healed. You don't deserve it, Mike. You don't deserve it. Be anxious in nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, in everything. I don't want to praise Him this morning. Too bad. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. What happens next? When we're anxious in nothing, and in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God that surpasseth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. An idle mind is the devil's playground. He loves to get in here and tell you things that ain't true. He wants to tell you you're not good enough. He wants to tell you you're never able to achieve what God's called you to achieve. He's here to tell you, Bernie, you'll never recover from that stroke. He's here to tell you, Mama, life's over. But you know better. You know the word. And she is faithful. She is faithful to that word. Amen? It's God's responsibility to take care of us. Did you know that? If we've been given dominion and power, how many of us have heard, well, if you want something done right, do it yourself? How'd that work out for you? If you want it done, do it yourself. Saints, it's God's responsibility to take care of me and you. He says, cast your burdens upon him. I walk up here and cast my burdens after I cried and carried on. And then I picked it right back up and I went back to my pew and sat back down with my burdens with me. Let's look at Psalms 55 and 22. See, I can't say if you got a Bible like mine. Because none of you do. I've got it written down on paper. I can't see the print in the Bible anymore. I got to put it up to font 20. Psalms 55 and 22 says, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Who is the righteous sitting in here? that's my duty as a child, to take care of my dad. I don't want to walk on top of his independence, but I want to make sure he's taken care of. What if he wouldn't let me? Would he be blocking my blessing? Could. The Bible says, give so that shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaking it, running over. Who's going to give into your bosom? Men. Don't block somebody's blessing. Let them help you. We're so independent. I was very independent. Oh, you ain't getting over on me. I'm going to have my own job. I'm going to have my own insurance. I'm going to have all this because you ain't getting over on me. Where am I at right now? My husband has stood beside me for 24 years. Up and down the thing, the path that the Lord has taken us. He's been right there to support me. You think God's going to bless him for that? Yes, he is. We can't be selfish. We can't be self-centered. We can't be so independent that we won't let somebody come in and help us. Don't block somebody's blessing that wants to come in and help you. Do you think it's our responsibility to be the salt of the earth? If we know that our God is true and real, the one true living God, how is he going to get his glory revealed in the earth? Through us. What if we just come in here Sunday after Sunday and never develop? Nobody's going to know. How do we know that he still heals if nobody's ever sick? And we never reveal it. How do we know that he's not a deliverer if we've never been delivered from anything? Saints, we have a story to tell. And we need to tell it outside of here and out there. We need to tell it in the grocery store. We need to tell it. I know you do, on your front porch too. We are the salt of the earth. It's our responsibility. God is going to work through us. There's a dying world out here. The drugs have taken over our community. We've got babies that have been born to women on drugs. That's being passed down from generation to generation. We have the answer. We have the answer. But we feel like we get crucified if we walk out here and talk about Jesus. That's right. Enough's enough. I've got a story to tell. I'm telling my story. I don't have to condemn you. I don't have to condemn the people out there. But he commands me to come in love. Speak the truth in love. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. You're the salt, Jackie. You're salt ministry. You're the salt of the earth, Bernie. But if the salt has lost its savor, it is then good for nothing. We don't want to be good for nothing. Ain't that right, Charles David? I love you. You're the salt of the earth, Charles David. You've got somebody to minister to. Plenty of them. And it goes on to say, you are the light of the world. Are you the light of the world? Are you lighting someone else's path? Are you holding them in condemnation? Are you blocking their way to the cross? A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Are you a town on a hill that can't be hidden? Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. What's the point? If we have this word in us, what's the point if we're not taking it out and sharing it with the world? Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Everywhere you go, are you showing the light of Christ to people? At the grocery store? At your job? When your boss ain't acting right? And you know you were in line for that promotion and you didn't get it? How do we act? Do we let our light shine? How about Facebook? Facebook. I hate Facebook. Do we get on there as saints and start antagonizing people? We don't, do we? If we disagree with your philosophy, we go to them in love and we say it in love, don't we? Too long ago, we sat up here with this fire and brimstone preaching and told everybody you're going to hell. That's not the God I serve. He loves us unconditionally. He don't want to punish us. He wants us to come into the fold. He wants us to understand who we are in Him. He wants us to experience His unconditional love. Will He chastise you? You better believe it. A good parent will chastise you. But it's in love, because they don't want you to get hurt. My parents chastised me. I'm not in jail. I'm not on drugs. I had great parents. Be the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. Don't lose its savor. How are we going to let our light shine before the world? Do we have to forego being selfish or self-centered? It's all about me. I want what I want. I don't want to do this, and I'm not doing it, and I don't care what you say. It's all about me. Been there. It's all about me. I need my needs met. What'd we just say? It's God's responsibility to meet your needs. It's your responsibility to go out here and meet the needs of others. Exodus 17, 10 through 13. Let's take a look at Moses. And I'm finishing up. Exodus 17, 10 through 13. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered him. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses' hands were held up here, the Israelites were winning. But when he dropped his hands, the Amalekites began to win. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it underneath him. Have you ever held up a staff or held up something for a long period of time? What begins to happen? That staff ain't heavy, right? Take a cane and just hold it up. It ain't heavy. But after a period of time, the hands begin to get weak. And so Aaron and Hur comes in, puts a stone that gives him some rest. Okay, that took pressure off the legs. Now I'm sitting down. But my hands are still heavy. They're wobbly, Jackie. They're tired. What's he do? Aaron and Hur holds up one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. So Joshua's role was to go out to battle. Moses' role is back here holding up the staff. Were they both important? Did they both have their part to play? Then, Hur and Aaron are here to aid him. The pastor, our pastor, is trying to carry the church. He's carrying a business. He's carrying a marriage. He's carrying his grandbabies, his children. He's got all of this responsibility. What are we doing to help his hand stay up? Are we putting the stone underneath him so that he can continue to do what thus saith the Lord? He's even helping in other ministries. He's got church camp. He's doing what he can to advance the kingdom. What are we doing to hold his hands up? Have we got to a place that we're leaders as well and not just always being led? Jackie, thank you for the jail ministry. Had a wonderful time yesterday. She stood up, took on a role to meet a need that maybe we could touch somebody's lives, somebody that's desperate. When you're in jail, are you desperate? Yes, you are. The best place to meet somebody's need and show them the love of Christ. Guys, when I ran for mayor, and I'm going to say something here, and it may be controversial, and I want you to take it the way it was intended. I went into this meeting, and it was a divine encounter meeting. They didn't have a clue who I was. I came in. They were already in worship, so they didn't know me. It was in Grayson. And as I began sharing some things with them, the lady that I did know, she says, Katrina, you need to tell them who you are. So I proceed to tell them who I used to be. And this guy said, I heard of you. Okay? He said, you went forth what God told you to do, but the church failed you. Hold up. He wasn't talking about my church. He was talking about the church in general. We're so divided in the church that we can't hold up the pastor's hands. We're so worried about being Republican or Democrat. We're so worried about being black or being white. We're so worried about Trump or Pelosi. We're so worried about all this other stuff. Hey, there's certain churches I can't even stand right here. I got to stand down here. We're so worried about stuff that we can't even be there to hold up the hands of the people that God has put in place. I understood what he meant. At first, you know, I'm offended. Then I understood. Are we holding up our pastor's hands? Are we praying for our president, whether we like him or we don't? Are we praying for our government, whether we like them or not? It would be so easy for me to sit up here and pray that Sam Cramblett would mess up miserably after what he had put me through. But that does not benefit my city. This ain't about me. This is not about you. This is about God's will being done. It's about God. And are we willing to be vessels that he can use? Even when you get crucified on Facebook, can you do it? Even when you're ready to lose everything, can you be the vessel that he needs to advance the kingdom? This isn't about Katrina. This is about God exposing his glory in the earth to prove to people he still reigns. Galatians 6, 2 through 10 says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. We're a family here, and we support each other. We do good. We support those that do good. Let's support our pastor as he's doing good. Let's rise up and take our rightful place. Let's participate. What is it that you've been called to do? Seek God's face. Seek his presence. Allow him to show you what it is that you have to do. Your mission's not over. Your purpose isn't over. Mine as the mayor ended, But I've got a new purpose. I've got a new vision. I knew that was a stumbling or a stepping stone. He told me it was just a stepping stone. I thought it was for a little longer than what it was, but it was a stepping stone. And he's looking for us to be obedient. Are you willing to take the call? Let's all stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every individual that is sitting in this house. God, we could have been somewhere else, but we purpose to come here and hear what it is that you would have to say to us. I pray, God, that what I said here, that you will take, anoint it, highlight it in our lives, God. Help us to truly understand this is not about us, but this is about you. Help us to touch those that need a healing. Help us to touch those that need deliverance. Help us to speak with a kind tongue and not in condemnation. People are beat up. People are lost. People are struggling. And every one of us is looking for your peace that surpasses all understanding. Help us to share your love in our community, God. Have your way in our lives. I pray that when we walk out of this room, out of this church, out into the world, that we would walk out with the boldness to share your love with the people. Have your way in this tri-state community, Lord. Have your way in Ironton. What a platform to show that God is able to do the exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think right here in Ironton. Now empower your people, God. Touch them. Bless them. And have your way in their lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, have a wonderful week. Share his love with somebody. Care for somebody.